Hello and welcome to the fifth and very special season of Bus to Talk, the exclusive podcast of Bus to Bus. All episodes of this season were recorded in our podcast studio during Bus to Bus in April in Berlin this year. You can hear renowned experts from the bus industry, politicians and startups. I'm Kirsten Kuber-Erkens from Messe Berlin, and will be on the lookout for news and insights from the bus and mobility theme for you. I have Totinia Hörner at my side to support me. She's a freelance moderator specializing in mobility, innovation and leadership, and has been supporting us at Bus to Bus for a number of years.
Thank you very much, Kerstin, for this warm welcome. I'm delighted to be part of this exciting season of Bus to Talk and to be exploring the world of mobility with you once again. I mean, we have a lot of great things planned this season, and I'm looking forward to inspiring our listeners with exciting insights and, of course, inspiring stories.
So, dear listeners, fasten your seatbelts and get ready for an exciting journey with Bus to Talk.
Welcome to another episode of Bus to Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of sustainable mobility solutions, greener cities, and a better future. In today's episode, we want to talk about modern urban transport by having a closer look at Paris. I don't know if you know, but I know that a lot has happened in Paris, and it seems like the city is not stopping to develop and improve its sustainable mobility ambitions. And I'm therefore very delighted to learn more and get some insights from Romain Herny, Senior Advisor for Mobility and Transportation at the organization Choose Paris Region. Welcome, Romain.
Well, thank you, Totinia, for having me. Hello, and I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Very, very cool. So, Romain, in the beginning, I always like to get to know our podcast guests a little bit. And maybe you tell us a little bit more about yourself. Besides your job title, who are you? What do you like to do? And who's Romain?
I'm 44 years old. My birthday was 2 days ago.
Oh, congrats. Happy late birthday.
Yeah, thank you, Totinia. I'm the proud father of two kids, 10 and 13. I was born and grew up in Besançon. It's a city in the eastern part of France. Then I graduated from the Grenoble University, a master's degree in marketing. And I traveled to the UK, to Canada. And then I moved to Paris almost 16 years ago now.
And you don't regret moving to Paris?
No, it was maybe the best choice for my career and also for my day-to-day life. And I really enjoyed the city and the region, yeah.
Great. And do you live in Paris city or in Paris region?
I have the privilege to live inside the city in the vibrant 20s districts. When we arrived with my wife, we set up in another district, the 14th, which is also a great place to live. And we also have a living experience in a city close to Paris called Montreuil, which is also a fantastic place to live. So, Totinia, if you want to join us in Paris, you're welcome.
Yeah. Maybe one day. It's actually not so far from Frankfurt, where I live. But of course, I need to know from you if you really just need 15 minutes to get around and get everything you need, because, I mean, we'll maybe talk about it later. But that was one of the concepts your mayor had. So is it true or is it just fake news?
No, it's not a fake news, especially in the city of Paris, where we have the highest density of population. You have to imagine that it's a very crowded, and it's not like Berlin, which is much more widespread. So in terms of geography and urbanism, it's much more concentrated. So, for instance, for my mobility option, I walk a lot in the city because you can do a lot by walking, and it's I do like almost between 5 to 10 kilometers each day. And also I have an e-bike, when I can go around and go to work or go into the city. And like 60% of the Parisians, I don't own a car. and I rent some cars with car rental companies or B2B car sharing companies when I need it, when I need a car really to go to holidays or for weekends. And as we are in bus to bus, I'm a big fan of metro and buses, and especially the electric ones. Well, a fantastic experience, very quiet, and in my opinion, a game changing.
So mobility doesn't only play an important role when it comes to your job, but also in your private life.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. And walking, cycling, taking the bus, metro. And also I had my driving license at 16. And
oh, so wow.
It was really enjoyed to drive when I did it. Absolutely.
So if you would have to choose your favorite mode of transport, what would it be?
It's maybe bike.
Okay. Yeah. Just a normal fast speed bike, or is it, I don't know, maybe another bike, tracking bike?
Maybe an e-bike, because when I arrive at work, I'm not sweaty and I don't need to take a shower. But, one of my kids, the younger one, she wants that we purchase an cargo bike, because all the parents are coming to school with the e-cargo bike. So I have to, even if we are like 2 minutes away from the school. So that's...
you have to take the car or bike.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, let's get to know Choose Paris region. I mean, you've worked for that company for almost 16 years. It's a nonprofit organization and it's financed by the city to do what?
So Choose Paris Region, you're right, we are a non-profit organization. It is mainly financed by the Paris region, not the city. We have several missions, but the most important, one of them is really to support international companies that want to set up or expand activities in the Paris region.
So Paris region, what does it all include?
So good question. Paris region, this is the city of Paris, and 7 counties surrounding Paris. So we have, for instance, the business district of La Défense, the 2 main airports, Roissy-Charles de Gaulle and Orly. We have famous cities like Versailles or Évry, Melun, Marne-la-Vallée, so, and many, many more cities. And you have to imagine that it's a very diverse region where we have the city of Paris, again, high density of population in Europe. And then 50% of the region is rural area. So we have different use case, different motivation for people to move in the region like the Paris region.
So did I understand right? 60% of the people live in the region?
No, 60% of the territory is,
okay, is the region.
Is rural area. Mm-hmm. So you countryside, etc. So we have the city center. To be a bit schematic, but we have the city center of Paris in the middle. A lot of people overcrowded. Then the first suburb, like mostly peri-urban or suburban, and then the second ring, which is much more countryside, and we have, and the region wants to develop more agriculture because we need to feed the city center.
True.
Locally with bio production, etc. So that's the picture of this very diverse region.
Yeah. And I would be very keen to know how you connect those regions when it comes to mobility, but we'll talk about that later on. I mean, your job is to make sure that companies invest into Paris and the region in terms of mobility, right? How do you do that?
We offer services to companies. So our target is international companies that want to set up or expand activities. It's not only mobility. We also, I have some other colleagues like in finance, in deep technology like artificial intelligence, in clean tech, etc. All the major industrial sector in the Paris region. We offer first market information about the ecosystem, about the business opportunities, about what are the maybe some regulation that could be very interesting for the companies. And then, so this is before, and then when the company decides to set up, we have a whole range of services like finding office space, helping to recruit local people, also juridical, legal, bank assistance, and visa immigration for non-European companies that want to send employees from abroad.
So you make Paris and the region attractive to investors.
We try to, and actually we help around 1,000 companies each year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and each year?
Each year, yeah.
Okay.
And we have, I think it's between 300 and 400 companies that set up or expand activities in the Paris region each year. And the first nationality, the US, and then second is Germany or England, depending on the UK, depending on the year.
Oh, wow. So even more people coming to Paris. Maybe I should think about it then.
You should think about it, yeah.
So let's talk about the status quo in Paris when it comes to mobility. I think if you follow the news, you can see a lot of things are happening in Paris, but maybe from a Parisian, from your perspective, what's happening in Paris?
There are many changes and smart mobility innovation that have been implemented in the city of Paris. And you mentioned the 15-minute walking city. I think the main development are for active mode of transportation in a city, in the city of Paris. We, as a cyclist in Paris, there are still a lot to do to improve the cycling experience, especially in terms of safety. But it has been amazing to see the change in the last, I guess, 5 to 10 years in terms of implementation, in terms of space allocation for cycling, but also walking. Paris is always on the news, on the top of the news, but in my opinion, you should have a closer look of what is happening in the region, much broadly than the Paris, the city of Paris, because this is where you have the bigger change.
Mm-hmm. But we'll definitely talk about the region as well. But I mean, how do I say it correctly? Anne Hidalgo?
Perfect.
Yes. I mean, she has been a mayor of Paris since 2014, the first woman to hold this office, and re-elected in 2020 for second term until 2026. And it really seems that she is the driving force and the strong political will behind the change that we see in Paris. Would you say that it needs political will in terms of a mayor that just does things and implements things to see that change in a region or in Paris city especially?
For sure, it requires, in my opinion, political courage because some of the people in Paris are reluctant to change. But again, we need to change. You know, 30% of CO2 emission in France comes from transportation of goods or people. So we need drastically. So we have to change. It's not an option. So Anne Hidalgo has done a great job, but there are other political mayor in other cities, and also in counties and in the region that are pushing for more sustainable and greener mobility solution. I think we have seen a political alignment, even if it's not the same political party. But this is really in the general interest of the Parisian and the people living in the Paris region to get rid of CO2 emission, air pollution, and also congestion in the city.
Mm. And would you say it has always been like that? So were the Parisians always like, yes, we want a greener and healthier city? Or did some implementations have to come first for them to see, oh, wow, it's so much nicer if we don't have cars? Or how did this develop? Because, yeah.
In my opinion, again, it takes time, and you need to again to prove that biking, for instance, in Paris is not very, it's not dangerous, it's safer, and also it's you can save time. So it's so you need to again to give space not only for cars or for parking spots on street parking, but also for bike, and also to have a greener city, because it's not like in Berlin. I walk around to come to Bus to Bus exhibition, and I've seen a lot of trees, big road, big spaces where you have trees. In Paris, not like that. So again, we need to have more nature, and it's important because temperature are increasing a lot in the summer, and we need to have more trees and more nature in the city.
Yeah, we are very proud here in Berlin that we have such a green city. So, as I said, you don't only focus on the city of Paris, but Paris as the region. And maybe you could tell us a little bit more about Paris region, how it develops, how it looks like currently, and how you yourself are involved in maybe also improving the region.
Sure. So the Paris region is 12 million inhabitants. So the city, for instance, the city of Paris is 2 million inhabitants.
Okay.
And every day we have 40 million daily trips. So mainly one third is by walk, one third is by car, and one quarter is by public transportation. What we have to fight again is we need to reduce CO2 emission, but also air pollution and congestion. And the strategy is quite clear. It's, first, it's a continuous investment in mass transit. Mass transit is and will stay the backbone of the mobility system in the Paris region. And I really wanted to mention this big project called Grand Paris Express that will double the number of metro lines in the Paris region. So we will have more, we'll have 200 kilometers of automated new metro lines, 68 new train stations, and the investment is 30 billion euro. So it's a huge investment, and it's really, really to connect suburbs to suburbs, because today, with the mass transit in Paris and in the Paris region, you have to commute in Paris. And for instance, if you live in the east part of the city, in the east part of the region, you have to, and you walk south of the Paris region, you have to go in Paris. And then with this new metro, you will be, it will be much more flexible, and you can go from, for instance, the east part of the region to the south with a direct metro, automated and new metro line. So that's the first point. It's very important. The second point is really about electrification of all mode of transportation. So we, in the Paris region, we have set up a low emission zone where the most polluted cars, diesel and gasoline car, will be gradually banned from this zone, which is the city of Paris and the first suburb of the city. But also the bus, for instance, we have a fleet of more than 10,000 buses in the Paris region. And the whole fleet will be switched to electric and to biogas by 2025 in the city center and 2030 for the whole region. So this is the second part, electrification of all modes of transportation. And the last point is what we mentioned before, it's active mobility, how to make the city much more fun to walk, much more safer to cycle, and to encourage people just for 2 or 3 kilometers, for those who can, use your bike or just walk if you have time.
So let's start with the first point you said. I would like to ask you, so the vision is to connect the suburbs with the city. That's quite a clear vision. But who was the one saying, okay, let's do the first implementations, let's do the first steps? Because I think we all know that it's good to connect the suburbs with the city. But who was maybe the driving force behind that vision to really see it implemented?
In the case of the Grand Paris Express, it was both national and the regional level and also some cities in the Paris region. It's the fact is that we have an excellent network in metro and also buses network inside Paris, but some lines are overcrowded and some lines are very aging. So we need to have another connection to suburbs. But also, what you mentioned is suburbs to the city center, but it's also to connect suburb to suburbs, which is important. Because Paris, if you have some passengers that are going to Paris but not staying in Paris and just commute, it makes no sense. So we need to maybe to enlarge the city with the first suburbs and to give access to those people living there, those communities, another means of transportation, because they, for many of them, they use the car and they don't have any other choices. So we need to set up some more more mass transit and metro lines, but also bus, in order to to offer them a new mobility mix option, you know, because when you can't choose, you have a car and that's it. But if you can go by bus or by metro, and you can also take a car, but you have the option and you can choose the best one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always necessary to have the option, actually have an option that is attractive and maybe brings you faster from A to B than your car.
Correct. And maybe also the budget was very important, you know, 30 and 32 billion euro. So that's why it was a national project financed by the French government.
Of course.
Because it's not like in Germany, in France, it's much more, it's not a federal model. It's very centralized in Paris with the French government.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about electrification, because that was the second part you looked at, you said that you have zones that you ban. So whenever a car is not electrified, it cannot go into one zone. Is that correct?
It's at the end of the low emission zone panorama, it will be that case. But now it's gradually banned. We have some stickers so in the car. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, depending on the age and the pollution, the car. And then now you cannot enter the city with stickers 0, 1, 2, 3. And then 3 will be banned regular in the near future. And also and gradually. It's also for the buses, for tourists, etc. So it's, but it raises a lot of questions, especially on the communities or people that cannot afford a new car and they don't have other option. And it's a great tool, but we need to work again. And it's the metropolitan of the Greater Paris metropolitan area with the national state that are some ideas and some innovation to propose to those citizens. Yeah.
Interesting. And I mean, it's a major shift that you're planning, not only with the Comparé Express, but also with electrification and also pushing people into more, not pushing, you're trying to offer people the options of active mobility. But how is this major shift going to look like by 2030? Do you have like a picture, a vision, something that you could describe how Paris and the region should look like in 2030?
I'm not a visionary, but I think we will have the same tools or the same mindset in 2030. In 2030, the Grand Paris Express will be finished, so we will have those lines
complete. Will it be finished?
Yeah, in 2030. So we will have some line ready for the Olympics, especially to in the Paris Olympic and Paralympics this summer, especially to go to the village, athlete village in the north of the region. And then in 2030, I think we will have more train station, more people on this on this train, and again it will stay the backbone of the mobility system in the Paris region. Hopefully we'll have more space for bike and we'll have nice place to walk with trees and etc. I don't see a big revolution. I see some big achievement with all those projects, and then we will maybe concentrate on new development, but again really focus on those topics on mass transit, electrification of bus or vehicles and bike and walking.
And when we talk about exactly those topics that you have just mentioned, how does the civil society react? Is the population just ready to accept everything you offer? Because sometimes, I mean, when we have a Comparé Express, for example, there are also going to be some constructions and people will not get from A to B as fast as planned. So how does the civil society react?
Absolutely, you're right. Some walks on the tunnel, some walks on the train station in some cities. For instance, I have some friends in Champigny-sur-Marne, which is a city in the east part of the region, and they were struggling with the walks on the street, etc. But again, it's just temporary. Even if it takes months to build months and sometimes years to build a new system like that. I think for this, when you have the mindset of projecting yourself in 2, 3, or 5 years' time, and we have a direct metro, you can connect with, for instance, the airport or for your place where you work. I think it's takes a lot of patience, but the thing is, it's really attractive for those local communities to see that we are the local authorities are taking care of them and offer them a new, modern and metro system. But you're right. The change, we have some people that really reluctant, especially for instance, car owners. You know, car, it's easy. You when you go from
it's comfortable.
Comfortable. When you have a parking place at your origin and parking place and destination, and you can, I say, not control, but you can predict the time of your trip, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to offer other solution rather than taking your private cars and metro and also buses. In some points are much more efficient in cities or in the region, like the Paris region.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember, I think it was 10 years ago when I went to Paris, and I was wondering, where are all those cars? And a friend told me, oh, we just have parking lots like underneath, because you couldn't see cars parking on the streets. And I remember when the friend from Paris came to my house, and we walked around Berlin. She was like, "Why there's so many cars? You find a parking spot everywhere." And it has changed, but not so much.
It's the same. It's the same for me. I just arrived in Berlin, and I've seen this car park everywhere in Charlottenburg, and I find it you know, 90% of the time a car is parked, and I've seen all the cars, and it really maybe a difference between the city like Berlin and in Paris. But I'm a big fan of Berlin. Yeah.
Very good. It's green. It's green. So, really talking about the civilian population once more. I mean, how do we practically get people into the bus? Because for once, let's imagine we already have created the option to choose the bus, but how do we get them into the bus? How can we make the bus more attractive?
It's a very interesting question. I think my opinion is to make, again, a trip with car is very efficient when you know how much it will take you and if you can park at the original destination. You have to make the explain that the bus trip is cheaper compared to, I don't know if people know how much it costs to own a car. How much
they don't.
They don't. So maybe some education on that. And then if you can make the bus cleaner or maybe faster with dedicated bus line, reliable, which is for me very important. If you can feel that the bus will be here, you know, in 5-10 minutes, and you will have a bus at the end of the day to go back to your home, it's very important. And sometimes maybe a great user experience, make bus more sexy, probably.
There we go.
And I mentioned in my introduction the bus and electric buses. They are more and more in Paris. And I just had some fantastic experience. It's very quiet. And in my feeling, I can feel the city differently when I was in the Bipasli with diesel bus. It was a lot of, you know, the smog,
the noise,
and the journey was not so funny. And now the new buses, you have more space, you can go no noise, and it's much more peaceful even for the passenger, you know. It's and it's another great experience. So I think the bus industry need to find this new way to get much more fun in taking the bus.
That's good. And I think here at the Bus to Bus, where we are currently, I've seen quite some buses that look quite attractive, I must say that, and that give you the feeling of actually, wow, it's an experience. It's not just getting me from A to B, but it's an experience to sit here and just enjoy. And I think just the noise aspect is quite an important one when talking about buses.
I will have a tour on the Bus to Bus.
You should definitely. Yeah. So one big discussion that I see often in Germany is a discussion on space allocation. So how did you approach the discussion on space allocation?
Space in a city like Paris and in other places in the Paris region, space is rare and very expensive in some of the places. you know, the mayor of Paris, she has a project to cut half of the on-street parking spaces, which represents 70,000 on-street parking. So it's a huge move to, and instead of having a parking, you can plant trees, you can offer to cafe a nice terrace. And it's also important for me, because we discuss a lot, Tatiana, with how to move people, but we also need to how to move goods. And in a city like Paris, where e-commerce is booming, we have a lot of deliveries every day, and we need to also diesel vans will be banned also, so we need to have other option, and the e-cargo bikes is a good one, and but we need to offer them affordable, cheap places in the city center where it's rare and very expensive. So we, because otherwise the business model is not there. So it's again, it takes some political move change to also allocate space for delivering goods in the city like Paris and other places in the Paris region.
And the mindset of the people will just then follow. So will everyone say, yes, you have reallocated the space, we're totally fine with that? Or how do you actually change the mindset? Because, I mean, you've probably seen it. Germany is still, maybe not forever, a car nation. Well, let's see. And of the private car. And how do we change the mindset of people thinking, well, I have the right to have my car in front of my door and not really pay anything for that?
It's very complicated. Some, again, are really reluctant to change, and they own a car. In some district of Paris, the majority of population own a car, and they want, it's very easy. And it's also not benefit, but it's a social image to have a big SUV in a city like Paris. It makes no sense, in my opinion. And but again, we need to also maybe educate the younger generation. And I have two kids, and I'm very confident that the new generation will switch to maybe some more greener, sustainable mobility solution. If we can, if they can learn what's the best for them and for the future. Yeah.
So education is quite an important part that we need to. Yeah, hand on to the younger generation.
Yeah, educate that you can take the bus, the metro, and also ride a bike very safely in our cities. And also saying that if you drive a car and you're just alone, it makes no sense. So maybe you can share your trip with other. So it's also a lot about education of the younger generation.
Yeah, so the hopes are high for the Gen Z to be a better generation than we were. Okay, so, I mean, you have told us a lot about keys for really implementing urban transport. We talked about political will. We talked about a vision that we need to have, the money and the forces behind it. So when looking at all those key elements, what would be the most important one? Or maybe are all of them equally important? How do we get those projects for an urban modern transport in a city really implemented?
I think it takes continuous investment, so a long-term vision. So it's sometimes not the same. It's not the same timeline with the election of a mayor in France is 5 years. You can be re-elected, but the mandate is 5 years. So you need to have a quick win to show that you've done a great job in 5 years. And some big projects like the Grand Paris Express, it's a project about like 20 or 25 years. So you need to have a vision and to convince all the Parisian or the people in the Paris region that it's the right choice. So it's sometimes very difficult. And I will say also public money. You need to invest a lot of money. And as we today, public money is not so, we are lacking for
always,
but more and more. So this is another topic that you have to maybe invest more in that, but it means that you have less money to do other things. So it's also really how to build your budget. So I would say, okay, this is another key topic. And then you can have also how to encourage, how to educate what we mentioned before, but all the new generation, but also older generation like me.
So you've mentioned the long-term vision. How long has Paris been already working on that vision? I don't know if you have an exact year for us, but just for us to be able to compare what it means to really develop such a vision that can now be seen.
So this is a vision that is maybe, but that is again a political consensus in maybe for 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
So that's, I think we have all experienced some fog or smog into the city, which is not good. And we all have been stuck in some traffic congestion, or even we have been taking some lines of metro line and it's overcrowded. So we have all those feelings that we need to change. So I think we had big problems. So that's why we get a common vision, big vision, which is not so sometimes all the stakeholders are not aligned, but it's a big move. It's a big change for the city, the region, in the Paris region.
Yeah, it's fruitful. I mean, we can tell already. And would you say that Paris can be a blueprint for maybe every big European city? So Berlin?
Yeah, I think every city is different. With the, you know, the geography, the urbanism, the culture. You mentioned the car culture in Germany, the heritage also, and the history. So I think there is no one mobility magical solution for...
Too bad.
No, sorry about that. To fix all those mobility issues. But I think as we are in the bus to bus event today, I think, again, continuous and big investment into metro and clean buses is really a must for every big cities like Berlin, like London, Amsterdam, and other big cities in Europe.
And I mean, Paris has done many things right, but maybe also some things wrong. Are there any, I don't know, successes, but as well as mistakes that we could actually use and learn from you to not do the same?
Definitely, there are still some room for improvement, and especially at the regional level. I wanted to mention that I think we are still... the car, single car ownership is really too much, too high in our region. So we can, if you drive a car, you can see a lot of cars with only one, but only one driver. So it made no sense. We have, for instance, a great job from the public transit authority called Île-de-France Mobilité that is really in charge of the buses and the metro in the city with operators, but they design and they are thinking about the mobility politics and the mobility mix in the Paris region. And they had the idea, okay, those cars we can see as they are only one driver, but we have three seats or even four seats if it's a big car, and how we can, as a mobility authority, we can subsidize those drivers to get people in his car, so they get €2 for each passenger that you can go with in the car through carpooling.
Nice.
So that's again a change of vision, because you maybe 10 years or 15 years ago Île-de-France Mobilité was not involved at all in carpooling, but they decided to do something. It's because when you see cars that are empty, you can also try to add more passengers and to subsidize some of the trip, because public transportation is heavily subsidized by local and national authorities. So that's maybe another, that's one point to improve in the Paris region. And I will guess also micromobility, there are big stories surrounding micromobilities. We had the invasion of bike sharing, electric bike sharing, then electric scooters. We have some stories and et cetera. It was a very rapid, not invasion, but rapid development, and we have done some bad, not bad thing, but we can do better on micromobility, in my opinion, because it's part of the mobility mix in a city like Paris.
Definitely. So we're closely coming to an end of this podcast, but I, of course, want to know how the future will look like. And I know you're not a prophet, but maybe you can still tell us how would Paris even get any better? What's there to improve, and what's the plan of Paris for the next 10, 20, 30 years?
I will say that maybe we need less energy to move around. Energy is no longer cheaper, it's no longer illimited. So we need to take care of the energy we use to move. Maybe also to give mobility option to local communities that don't have the choice right now. So this is the bet with the Grand Paris Express and all the new bus line that we will be implemented in the Paris region. And again, maybe some emergence of mobility hubs. I've heard a lot in Berlin with mobility hubs, so I'm quite curious to know more. And at the end, also make the city much more fun to cycle, much more fun to walk in city centers in the Paris region. So again, I'm not a visionary, but there is no maybe more trees in the cities. But the thing is, we need to make our cities greener and more sustainable.
This sounds good. And with that, I would like to finish the podcast. Thank you so much, Romain, for all the insights you've given us to Paris. You have inspired me. And I'm definitely going to visit Paris this year. It's on my list. So thank you very much for the great insights, Romain. We'd like to thank our guests. And of course, thank you for listening, and hear you soon in the next episode of Bus to Talk.
Thank you, Tatiana.
A big thank you to our guests. This concludes another episode of the fifth season of Bus to Talk. Stay tuned. We invite you to take a look at our website, www.bus2bus.berlin. There you will find all the information about Bus to Bus, as well as our podcast and newsroom. You can find more information on our show note as well. We look forward to your subscriptions, of course. See you soon, and our tip, try the bus. Thank you.